Hi, I'm Susan Trog. I'm 52 years old. Today is April 22nd, 2021. I am right outside of Wichita, Kansas. I am with my one small step partner, Kelly.
I am Reverend Kelly Demo. I am 53 years old. Today is April 22nd, 2021. I'm in Lenexa, Kansas. Right now I'm at my office, which is Overland Park, Kansas. And I am here with my one small step partner, Susan.
Okay, in an effort to be fully transparent, I read my reminder email that came 2 days ago, and it said I had a different partner. So I just read your bio since we got on here. So I'm going to read it.
Okay.
That's our next step, right?
I totally forgot what I wrote like months and months ago. So
Yeah,
it'll be
well, I don't know
fascinating
if there's
to
someone who would be surprised.
hear
All
what
right. I'll start. Kelly is an Episcopal priest, wife, and mother to two teenage children. Her ministry focus is social justice and young people. She worked for several years in international aid, but now is back working the church that she loves. She's a lifelong Kansan and Democrat, so she remembers a time of moderate Republicans. She understands and appreciates that philosophy, oh, understands that philosophy, but she's frustrated with where the current Republican Party is. She's eager to hear from a Republican to understand better why they believe what they do.
And I have for Susan, I am a mom and a wife. I am a Christian. I've lived in Kansas my whole life. My kids are grown. They are 25 and 22. My son is married, has a 5-month-old baby with some cute little emojis along with that. Mom is 80 and still healthy and strong. Lives close, and I see her every week. We volunteer together for a nonprofit ministry that serves kids and families in crisis. Spend time every week with son and wife. I'm happiest when I'm with my kids, and I have a heart for mentoring other women. When I read this morning to my teenage son, I was like, "Oh, I'm getting to do this thing. I'm really excited." And I read your bio. He was like, "Mom, that's your bio." That was really interesting. I was like, "Oh, you StoryCorps people, you."
Yeah, well, I was matched up once before, and I was not at home, and I didn't have access to a computer, and it wasn't going to work. And so my first partner that I was matched up with, she's in Hutchinson, and she's Muslim. And so she
Oh,
was wearing her burqa, and that's who my 2 days ago reminder email said I was matched up with again, which I thought, well, that's really cool. Like, I got
wow.
matched up with her again. That's awesome. And then I got on here and I thought, she took her burqa off? Like, when I saw your face, I thought, okay. All right. So, okay. You're in Lenexa, so you maybe don't know, but my mom is an Episcopal deacon in Wichita.
Oh,
Yeah.
for heaven's
How
sake,
great
who
is
is it?
that? Carmen Anderson.
Carmen Anderson. Oh, well, I should know her down in Wichita, but that's not a name that I remember. But I'm
Well,
also.
oh shoot, who's the priest over there? Andrew, what's Andrew's last name? He's a
O'Connor.
good shepherd.
Andrew O'Connor. Oh, that's hilarious. Yep. Yeah, I know Andrew. I've preached at that church many, many times.
Oh,
That's
really? Okay, well, that's where my
yeah.
mom is, but she's not on full time. My mom's 80. So,
Okay. Oh, for
oh,
heaven's sake.
my husband has been calling me repeatedly since we started recording.
Oh, dear. Is
He's
everything
at,
okay?
yes, he's at the phone place and he needs to know his account number. Is that okay if I send him the account number right quick? Okay, so yeah, my mom's name is Carmen. She was ordained when I was in college, so
Okay.
30 years ago. So she's not exactly on full time.
Huh. So So did you grow up Episcopalian?
I did. I grew up at St. Mark's in Wichita, which combined with what other congregation? Some other St. Bart? No, not St. Bart's.
They did. I'm not remembering, but I remember that they combined.
Yeah. Anyway, and became Good Shepherd.
Right.
So I got married at Good Shepherd. Gosh, that's a while ago, 30 years ago. And my husband grew up Mennonite. And so we had our priest and my husband's uncle, who was a Mennonite pastor, co-officiating our wedding.
So. That's awesome. That's awesome. So then are you then still Episcopalian?
I am not. I go to a non-denominational church here in Wichita.
Okay.
That's what I have gone to our whole married life. Central Community Church, actually, they're not non-denominational. That's where we started out because that's where my husband's parents were. And I don't know, it's just easy to go there. What is that? I can't think what denomination that is, but it seems like a non-denominational church to me. Oh, shoot. I'll have to Google them to find out what denomination it was.
No worries.
But now we go to New Spring, which is non-denominational here in Wichita.
Okay. I know you're dealing with your husband. I'll let you.
I know. I'm sorry. Because after I texted him the account number, he called me again. So I'm just telling him I can't answer his calls. Sorry. So did you grow up in Episcopal?
I did. Yeah. I did, Cradle Episcopalian, wandered away for a little bit in college as one does, but this was always where my heart was. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Got ordained in 97, and always Episcopalian.
Wow, you got ordained early.
We were the youngest priests. We were the youngest. My husband is also a priest. Okay. And I'm the director here at the church. He's the rector and I'm the associate rector. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very curious about the move from Episcopal to non-denominational and because I know this whole project is about politics and things like that. Is that why the move happened or?
I feel a little bit bad, although I kind of feel good where I'm at. But I kind of feel bad being in a platform that's to talk about politics because I really don't pay very good attention to politics. Like I am conservative, but if you ask me questions, like when I looked at the participant pack that's in here that had questions like, is there a person that was influential in shaping your political beliefs? Is there a moment or experience that shaped your political beliefs? Like, I don't know. I'm just really not that interested. So
how would you define conservative then?
I line up with conservative politics, but I just don't pay much attention to it. Like, I think I know what I believe. When I look at politicians, I think most of them are crazy and whether they be liberal or conservative. Right. I mean, I just think most of them are crazy and most of them are, okay, that's probably too general of it, too much of a generalization, but I think most of them are like, I don't want to be too ugly. So I want to say a nice word, but, I think that most of them are not out there for people's best interest.
Sure.
And so,
when you say you line up with conservative values, like what do you see that being?
Well, I line up more with
like fiscally or
yeah, probably. I mean, we're business owners, so
yeah.
So in that case, I feel like politically, I would line up more with let business owners do what they need to do and don't have government tell me what to do.
Right.
I line up more with strict biblical, moral beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going back to your first question. Okay, so I grew up Episcopal. I went to a Mennonite college, which was very liberal. The General Conference Mennonite Church, I went to Bethel College in Newton, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
General Conference Mennonite Church has swung quite a ways toward being more liberal. At the time, I didn't really take a stand. Like, I was just good with whatever. And I'm not really one who goes out there and takes a stand even now. Mm-hmm. But I feel more secure now that I know what I think. Then when I was in college, I just went along with whatever.
Right.
My husband and I started going to Central Community Church where his parents were. We never really made a decision. It was just more comfortable probably for both of us, in a church that wasn't so structured. Byron didn't know when to stand up and when to sit down at the Episcopal Church. And when I was 30, my kids were 2 and 5, and we had lunch with the pastor at Central Community Church, one of the pastors, our Sunday school teacher, and I just really was in a place where I was ready to figure this thing out. Like, I grew up in the church. I agreed with everything. I believed everything that was taught. But I didn't really have that personal relationship with Jesus. So when I made that decision, like, I really want to have that relationship with Jesus, I think that made me more like, okay, this is where I want to be. I'm an observer of the Episcopal Church. Obviously, my mom still goes there. I'm frustrated with the Episcopal Church at being as liberal as they are. You know, like their stand on abortion. I wrote a paper in high school about, you know, abortion, and the Episcopal Church is pretty liberal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not how I feel anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like God says don't kill and we ought to not kill. That's really the only thing I can point to inside the Episcopal belief system where I would disagree.
Like abortion, you mean?
Yeah.
I see.
But I prefer a less structured worship environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I go to the Episcopal Church once in a while, but not very often.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Sure. Yeah. So, okay, cool.
How did you end up ordained in the Episcopal Church?
I was going to KU and majoring in theater and realized that that's not what I wanted to do, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And through the funny set of circumstances, I went and lived in West Africa
for a year.
And it took me getting out of my comfort zone to be in a place where that was so unfamiliar that, like, God was the only thing that was familiar to me, so that I could really listen and hear that call. And so I finished up my year there. It was actually while I was there, though, was when in Sierra Leone was when the coup happened, towards the end of my time there, the whole, you know, Blood Diamond, all of that stuff. And so I got evacuated, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But came back and finished up at KU. And then before going to seminary, that was when I met my husband, who was thinking of going into a monastery until we met and then changed his mind. And we went to seminary together then. So
okay.
Down in Austin.
Did you go because he was going?
Or did I go? No. No, no, no. I was already on that path and in the, you know, had started the process with the diocese. So,
okay.
And, you know, early on was looking at seminary and stuff. So, yeah. So the, what made you want to do this interview?
I want to be part of the solution. I mean, mm-hmm. I look at what goes on in our world and I spend a lot of time with this. I wrote it in my bio, this ministry that serves kids and families in crisis.
Yeah, I wanted to hear more about that.
A big part of the population we serve is minority, typically African American, although, you know, it doesn't really matter, but typically African American. One of the families that I spend a lot of time with is Mexican, you know, some of them are white. So there, you know, there's not a demographic that we only serve, but I have learned so much. I mentored a young mom that was African American, and spending time with her, I just became so much more aware of the difficulty between Black and white. And it's just one of my goals, one of my things that pulls on my heart. Like, I just want to be part of the solution. And obviously you're not Black, but that's what I expected. You know, they're going to match me up with somebody that's half my age and Black and gay and Muslim and like everything I'm not. So that's why. I mean, I just want to be part of the conversation. You know, I think it's so silly for people who disagree to act like they can't speak to one another. It doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense to me. And mm-hmm. I think it's a big part of how we got to here is mm-hmm. people don't speak to each other and they just, you know, whisper with their neighbor that they agree with. And then we all pick our side and sit there mm-hmm. and point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why'd you do it?
I think partially for that same reason. But also I think it is very easy for me working in the Episcopal Church to be in a liberal bubble. People will often not engage in these kind of conversations with me. Like, they'll just, sort of, well, you know, you're a pastor and so you know more about the Bible than me, so I'm not going to talk to you about it, or, you know, that kind of thing, and won't engage in conversations around these kinds of issues. And I get frustrated and I want to hear, I mean, like I said in my bio, that I want to hear what informs, I mean, especially as a person of faith, and especially coming out of the Episcopal Church and to make that change. Like, like my guess is our major differences between you and me and our beliefs, I'm guessing, come around our understanding of Scripture, and how you read Scripture and how I read Scripture, but I may be totally wrong about that.
I won't argue with it. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's a valid question, because honestly, I appreciate having this conversation, even though I walked into it blind. I didn't know I was talking to an Episcopal priest. But in our family, like, it's not really cool to question. And so for me to ask my mom these same questions would be difficult.
Really?
Yeah. It's not that she wouldn't allow me to ask the question, but I just am not sure I would get a full answer.
Interesting.
And it's just kind of, you know, every family has their own dysfunction and their own culture.
Indeed.
And it just like, we just, you know, growing up, I thought, because the way my parents spoke, people like me, who I am now, mm-hmm. were like holy rollers. Like, they just read everything in the Bible and didn't ever question it. And, weren't really thinking, like they just were doing what they'd been taught or told. So my family didn't really, we didn't go around saying this out loud, but we didn't really have a lot of respect for somebody who believes like I do now.
Right.
So when I made a decision to be baptized again, when I decided to, that I needed to have my own relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I invited my parents to my baptism and they came, but it was a little bit tense. Like, why are you being baptized again? We already did that.
Right.
And so it was, you know, to their credit, they didn't say that, but I just felt this tension with them. And my mom and I had lunch one day. I invited her to lunch, and I don't know if I was picking a fight. I might have been. So I invited her to lunch, and I don't know how I invited her or what the point was, but I think I just wanted to tell her, you know, what I had learned and how I felt and having this new relationship with Jesus that was my own and not theirs. And fortunately, I think that right before it, God gave me a much better way to speak to her. And so I showed up with my Bible and she showed up with the Book of Common Prayer. And I'm being honest with you.
No, that just like says it all right there. That's hilarious. I'm sorry.
And so it felt tense, but what God gave me right before was, don't go head to head with your mom. Just tell her what's changed and tell her what's different. Mm-hmm. And and that's what I did. And it was easy and it was not tense and it was not conflictual.
Good.
Just say, you know, this is what's changed in my life. And I read this in the Bible. I'd never seen that before. And I'm just so excited. And I was super excited about my new relationship with Christ. And I was frustrated that I don't know if they didn't tell me or if I just didn't get it. In my mind, they didn't tell me growing up.
Tell you what?
About having my own relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I went to church. We did all the ceremonies. And that's a part of, too, probably why I switched to a different church, was the whole ceremonial part of the Episcopal Church, in my mind, was something I didn't want to be just that. And so in a less structured worship environment, I felt better. Like, I wasn't just saying things to be saying them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember at all why I started down this road. Why am I saying the things I'm saying? What?
That's what conversation does.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe about being baptized again. I don't remember how I got to here.
And so what is your understanding of scripture? How do you handle scripture?
Well, I read it every day, which I never understood to do previously. So now I know better what's in there. My one friend, I had a discipleship partner right when I first made this decision, and I felt like I was so far behind, like I didn't know the Bible. And so she recommended that I start with a kid's Bible storybook. Mm-hmm. And that was so great because, well, was I a sassy child? Probably. I didn't go to Sunday school very much when I was a kid. I think I was bored or I was too hyperactive or I don't know, but my parents let me sit in church with them. Mm-hmm. So I might have missed them all on my own choices, but I didn't know the stories in the Bible. So that I learned a lot. I've learned a lot of what's in there. Being in a more conservative, more Bible-based church. I see it more literally. I'm not sure I'm 100% like literal, because some people are with the Bible. I said to my mom one time something about the Bible being the inerrant word of God, and my mom was like, I don't know about that. So that might be a difference. It's prior to me making my own decision to have a relationship with Jesus, I could not stay interested in the Bible. Like, I tried to do Bible studies, read it. It was almost like a light switch came on that day when I said, okay, I'm having my very own relationship with Jesus. It changed everything for me, and it changed how I felt, and it changed my ability to be interested in the Bible. And so then when I started to read it, I was fascinated that things would make sense for where I was in life that day. And how did God know that I was going to read that day? So I feel like the Bible speaks to me more than it did previously. And even as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, well, is that you or is that the church difference? Probably me. But I didn't get it. I mean, I was mad at the Episcopal Church for a long time. I don't think I'm as mad now, thankfully. But I was mad for a long time. Like, why didn't you tell me? Why did I go to church all those years and you didn't tell me this? So I don't know if they didn't tell me or if I didn't listen. But I finally understood it when I was 30 years old.
Interesting.
So, okay, you don't have to base it on that. Let me just ask you the same question. How do you see Scripture? How do you read it?
Scripture is my number one thing that I love to teach on to my youth. I created a program for the diocese where we read. It's happens over the Martin Luther King weekend called Mikra, and we do a marathon reading of the whole Bible, and then we have like classes and stuff like that, and we talk about it. I teach that everything in the Bible is true, but not everything is factual. And so that's how my, and that it is, it's the story of humanity growing up. And in, you know, as a metaphor for our own growing up in our relationship with God, that we start off as children who need rules like, you know, don't touch the stove, it's hot, and an eye for an eye to kind of set some boundaries on things. But then we grow up and we have a deeper relationship with God and more and higher expectations as we do as adults, like loving our enemies and caring for the poor and those kinds of things. It hurts my heart to hear that you were not taught well in the Episcopal Church, taught Scripture well, because that is like one of my passions for young people to understand, and that to have a love of Scripture in the way that I do, that it's a love letter from God that is accessible and beautiful and poetic and, you know, and deep, has profound truths in it. So, but I don't read it literally, so that, you know, and I think in that way, that's why I was speculating that some of our political differences, stem from our understanding of Scripture. It's just a guess. So that, for instance, you mentioned abortion. The Episcopal Church, I'm not sure what your understanding of the Episcopal Church's stance is on abortion. We do believe that it's a sin outright, but that it needs to be safe and legal, because otherwise young women would also be dying along with their babies. That's basically the Episcopal Church's stance on that. I know that the Episcopal Church is branded as being very, very liberal. It's in my mind, it's rooted in, you know, the teachings of Jesus and in everything that we do and believe, and the justice work that we do and equality work that we do, and the taking on the powers of the world and taking on the violence of the world, and, you know, and guns, and, you know, all of those kinds of things that are branded as liberal, I think to my mindset stems out of the teachings of the person of Jesus Christ. So
that is so refreshing and encouraging. Of course. Okay. Several, like, I can't even get a thought out of my mouth because my brain's going six directions, but, I have believed forever now that the church I grew up in is how the Episcopal Church is.
Mm.
They don't teach the Bible. Like, you read it as in the service.
Yeah.
This reading and that reading and this one, are there three? I haven't been in for a while, but one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, one from the Gospels, right?
Four with the Psalm.
and that's it. And then, okay, you have your scripture for the week. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody said that, but right. It just wasn't a part of our church culture.
Right.
To do Bible study, to read the Bible outside of whatever was just done in the Sunday service.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that's how the whole church is. I mean, for you to say that you teach on scripture and you have a Bible burn over a weekend. I've never heard these things. I mean, you only know what you know.
Yep. And I just thought
that's how the Episcopal Church is. And I was mad at them. Like, why do you tell me this stuff? And then my understanding of the Episcopal Church's beliefs is from the research paper I wrote when I was in high school. It's 35 years old. And at that time, abortion's okay. I mean, I don't know what, but that's what I took away from it as a, 17 year old.
Right.
I guess. I mean, that's all I know. I just thought I knew, and that was that. Like, okay, I know, and now I can move on. But it's a good conversation.
It is a good conversation. It is a good conversation. It's really fascinating that we got paid up
the way we did. Yeah.
And those StoryCorps people, man, I'm telling you.
They're pretty smart. Doggone.
So, what is the business that you own, if I might ask?
Well, my husband is a serial entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So,
putting it,
we have, over the years owned a number of businesses. Mm-hmm. My husband's parents were successful in a number of businesses, but probably most successful with Amway in the 1970s.
Wow. I mean,
in the 1970s, they were making a lot of money with Amway. So we were Amway distributors early on. We've been in lots of network marketing companies. My husband has had an advertising company. That one was pretty consistent for like 20 years. That one stayed. And network marketing has really been pretty consistent in our lives over the years. My husband and his father own a car dealership, just a small one. Like, they don't really have a lot. They just find cars for people. They need them. It's hard to even remember them all. We've had a hunting and fishing television show. We've built websites early on when websites were new, like mm-hmm. for me to build a website now, but years ago we did. And shoot, I one time I made a list and there were like 16 businesses on the list.
Wow.
And some of them didn't last long. So there. The advertising company and the TV show and network marketing have been the most solid things that we've done. And we closed both the advertising company and the TV show. Don't ever get into TV.
Okay, no problem.
Fortunately, we had the advertising company to bail out the TV show because the TV show was like a big black hole. You just feed your money to it.
Yeah.
My husband had a great time with it. I didn't have a great time with it because when anytime my husband has started a company, I'm the automatic unpaid employee.
Yeah.
So I ran the camera. I learned to edit video. Whatever needed to be done, that was me. So yeah. I worked rear end off, and he had a fun time being the host.
Right.
But we've closed both of those. All of our income now comes from network marketing.
Got it.
And, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we've done off and on 30 years.
Yeah. Okay. And you've got kids. You've got two grown kids, right?
I do.
And a grandbaby.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. He's sweet. He's 6.5 months. But really, sweeter yet has been spending time with his parents over the last. That part has been super cool. I mean, people are so over the top with their grandbabies, and he's great. But I just don't feel like I'm that typical grandma. Like, I would like to show you his picture probably because he is cute.
Of course.
But it's been super sweet spending time with my grown kids and my daughter-in-law. They appreciate having their mom around, which I really like.
Did you guys?
My daughter has been doing mission. She's a missionary. She was with Youth with a Mission for 4.5 years, based in Kona, Hawaii. And I just last week moved her to Georgia.
Oh, wow.
When Hillary called me this week and there was a call coming in from Atlanta, I thought, well, I better answer that because I didn't expect it to be the StoryCorps guy. But she's about 1.5 hours out of Atlanta. Okay. She's in Columbus, Georgia. And she is working with a ministry there called Take the City, which coordinates all different churches to do outreach into their local community. And then they're working on having a ministry school, which is what my daughter's been doing for the last 4.5 years in Kona, is what they call discipleship training school. And so she's writing the curriculum for this ministry school they're starting in Georgia.
Nice.
Yeah.
So did you all stay safe during COVID?
We have, none of us have been sick.
Good.
And life has been pretty ordinary, really. I mean, my husband works from the office that's right behind my house, so that didn't have to change, and he can do most everything remote. Has your church been open?
No, we also learned video editing. That's why I laughed when he said, don't do TV. I do YouTube. We shut down, you know, right away last March, and we're first doing church from our living room, which was ridiculous because, you know, it's like you get the cat in the background and, you know, all the stuff. Finally, we have then started to do it online. And now we have people who come in the parking lot who can tune in on their radio. And we're inside. We do a prepared one for online that's sort of nicer videos and things like that. But then we also will live stream. And we have about 80% of our adult population in the church has been vaccinated. So we have a panel of like doctors and things in the community. And so we've that's how we've been making decisions this whole time, as far as small groups and youth group and, you know, all of those things. So anyway, we've decided that we can have very small in-person people masked and spread out in the sanctuary. And then we live stream that. So.
I don't understand why the mask and the response to COVID is also politically persuaded. I mean, in our non-denominational church, we've been back in person since August.
Mm-hmm.
And people can wear masks if they want to, but not everyone does.
That's fascinating, because that I feel like that would be a question I would ask of you, like as a conservative. That pushback seems to come so much more from the conservative viewpoint, yeah. And I am fascinated by that. Like,
me too. Whoa. I don't understand it. Yeah.
So you're not hearing an answer like from friends or things who don't want to wear a mask and personal liberties and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm married to one.
Oh really?
Yeah, for him to wear a mask, he's a grouch. Yeah. And I don't really understand. My mom's church has been the same way. I think they are in person now. I forget now how they are in person, but not everyone goes every week. I think they might like alternate, so they don't have a full
right.
Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm confused by it. I don't know why, if you believe more conservatively, you don't want to wear a mask and you're doing stuff in person. And if you're more liberal, you're wearing a mask and socially distancing more. I don't really understand that either. I'm not the one to give you an explanation. We've been doing life mostly normal.
Wow.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, in observing the African American population, where, you know, we're doing ministry and serving these people, the African American people were more scared by the media, I felt like. You know, the early information came out saying, if you're African American, you're getting sick more and more often and sicker and dying more. But that hasn't been my observation, you know, of the people that I know. And so I don't know where that came from, you know, was it?
Well, statistically it's true.
Yeah. But I don't know why. I mean, the people that I know aren't any sicker than anybody else. And
well,
I think
because of the poverty rates and, you know, general of other contributing factors, health factors. I mean, it statistically it is true.
Yeah, yeah. But like in our executive director for the ministry that I volunteer with, one of the things she observed early on was the people in the hood weren't sick. You know, hood in quotations, you know, what does that mean? But their immune systems are pretty strong because they haven't had that great of sanitary conditions their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do know a few people that were sick, but not dying sick. And we serve a really low income population.
Mm-hmm.
So I've wondered always, but I mean, all I have is anecdotal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that I know. So I don't know. I'm intrigued by it too. And I don't, because we have done life fairly normal. I mean,
that blows me away to hear anyone say that you've done life fairly normal. There has been zero normal for me. And it has been an upheaval. My kids have been online school, you know, my daughter away at college, she had to come home. And finish out the rest of her year at home and everything online. And my son was online. He only recently, in the past few weeks, have gone back. He kind of did some hybrid for a little while. We've had our very, very small bubble. But we have not lost anyone in the parish. Like I said, everyone has, 80% has gotten vaccinated. But it has been nothing like normal at all.
I don't have a good explanation for it either. We don't have kids in school, but we have a 7-year-old goddaughter, that we met through Faith Builders, the ministry that I volunteer with. We met her. She started staying with us off and on when she was 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was 15 and not good family support. So when mom was overwhelmed, needed to get schoolwork done, whatever, we would keep the baby. And mom made a series of poor choices, and child went into state's custody. She's adopted by her great-grandparents, so we spell the great-grandparents. So typically weekends she spends with us. Their family's Catholic. They're Mexican. They had her baptized. We're the official godparents. So now we have an official title in her life, but she spends a lot of time with us. So when her school closed, she spent a lot of time here. So, you know, we did deal with that a little, but then her school went back in the fall in person.
Hmm.
Yeah. In Hutchinson, Kansas. But the whole Wichita Catholic diocese went back in person in the fall.
Yeah.
And they wear masks. All the kids wear masks to school, but I don't know. It's just such a, I don't understand why there's such a different take on it. It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't to me either. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me, being we have done life fairly normal. I mean, our executive director of Faith Builders, she and her husband got COVID, but they were not super sick. They, you know, did the preventive kind of stuff. As soon as they got sick, their doctor prescribed an antibiotic and an inhaler and I don't know what all, but I just assumed it was because of that they didn't get super sick. So I don't have anybody in my world that that died from it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know somebody that knows somebody, but
mm-hmm.
And in Wichita, it's not, and Newton, those are the two places I live in between Wichita and Newton.
Yep.
When you go to the grocery store, some people are wearing them and some people aren't.
Hmm.
And
they it's don't keep here in Johnson County. Everybody's still wearing them.
Oh goodness. You know what? We provided food boxes to Kansas City, are you familiar with DECA? It's a child placing agency.
Sure. Okay.
For DECA, somehow is the affiliation of DECA with someplace in Kansas City. Must have been their families. Because Kansas City locked down so much harder than Wichita did.
Mm-hmm.
So much sooner.
Yeah.
Last spring, we gave away like 3,000 pounds of ground beef in food boxes. And most of them went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
A worker from DECA that would come and meet us in Emporia, and we tried everything.
We're so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Kansas City has been a lot more strict.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if I can say the answer, and I'm sure you and I are not going to solve the world's problems for COVID.
It fascinates me that we were paired together, though. I just think
God orchestrated that, no doubt.
Small world, small church. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm grateful for the conversation.
Me too. I'd love to continue the conversation.
I would as well. I find your and I mean, because we have this connection, I'm sure that we can.
Oh, find sure. I'll just ask Andrew who you are, and he'll tell me.
Hop over on Facebook, and I'm sure.
Okay, I'll look for you on Facebook. That's
Are we breaking the rules, Hillary?
Okay. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Thanks for being on here.
Thank you.